If Lands Could Kill, featuring Knife City, Equipness, Bright, and Hot Sauce.
Welcome to episode 7 of If Lands Could Kill. I am Knife City.
I'm Equipness.
It's Reich.
Hot Sauce.
And welcome to episode 7.
Big 7.
Big lucky 7.
Is that's it? Right.
I think I've seen the movie. That movie. Lucky 11 or something. Anyways.
That's good. Strong starts as well.
I know. I'm sick, by the way.
Strong starts.
I'm on meds. I have an excuse. I'm on meds.
It's NyQuil's fault.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So what's new, guys?
Stoked about Journey into Nyx, man. That's all I've been thinking about. Just new brews, checking out the cards, all the coverage for, you know, what the pros are doing, stuff like that. Seems to be pretty good. But that's all I've been thinking about, really. Everything else takes second place.
Just dreaming?
Yes, exactly.
Instead of Jessica Alba's face, you know, you're, like, dreaming of
Planeswalkers.
I'm dreaming of Elspeth.
Yeah, yeah. Or something.
Yeah.
King Brumaz. with his shirt off, like the wind blowing his hair, his lion's mane back. Oh yeah, baby!
Those furry titties.
Oh man, those furries out there right now—they're like, that's my dream.
Is that what they call the people who are into that, furries?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. The
ones oh that man,
out. You just made some furries out.
Some grime ass cosplayers.
I'll be back, guys.
I need to go Google this.
Yeah. You probably find it. Let's go to like. You porn or something.
I initiate, what is it, Internet Rule 34. If it's out there, it exists.
Yes.
Exactly. I thought of it. It was a new idea. Yeah. Oh my god, it's been over 10 years.
If it's in my brain, it exists somewhere on the internet. But yeah, I've been sick and just taking it easy. I've been kind of following some of the coverage, but I watched some of the SCG Cincinnati, which was today's Sunday, so it was yesterday. It was Saturday. I watched it a little bit, but kind of just looking forward to actually cracking some packs open of this Journey into the Nyx, because I actually didn't make the pre-release like the rest of these chumps, but I kind of missed out. Sucks, but you know, hopefully I'll make some Friday nights.
Kind of bummed we're not drafting today.
I know. Yeah, right. I wish we could. I don't think we'd have time.
Yeah. Oh, guys, surprise! Booster packs for everyone! Make it rain!
You get a booster pack!
You get a booster pack!
Everybody gets a booster pack.
Yeah, just kind of taking it easy. I've been playing some Steam games. I'm kind of catching up on my Steam library, because I bought all these games back when they were like on sale for the past 2 years, and I'm finally trying to...
The summer sales.
Trying to hit on a few of them. I just started playing a game called Don't Starve, which is like it's not like 2D, but it's like kind of a cartoonish, like
it's like God view top down.
Yeah, like isometric, like film noir, like kind of like cartoony, dark cartoony game. It's actually kind of cool, but I've just been trying to get through my backlog. I know there's a ton of games though. I have like, I don't know, hundreds of games I haven't played yet, because exactly. I just bought them when they're like $2. I'm like, oh, I'm going to play Train Simulator 2014.
That sounds really good.
That's 99 cents. I'll play that one day. Let's just go ahead and buy that.
Even like AAA titles that come out, and they're like maybe a year after release, and they're selling for like $3, like Max Payne 3,
yeah, right.
Or a Deus Ex Human Revolution. There's games that people have, like, it's a good strong following behind it, and you buy it for like $2, and you're like, well, I'm going to pick it up. It's obviously a good game. And then you don't fucking touch it.
Yeah, I have that Deus Ex or whatever.
Me too, yeah.
I'm like, I bought it like when it first came on sale. I'm like, oh, I'm going to play the shit out of this. And I fucking just never touched it.
Never even, yeah.
It's not even installed.
Not even installed.
Exactly. Steam doesn't even know it's there. It's I think you had this game.
We have your money.
You should probably play it.
404 not found.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's my deal for this week.
Awesome. I don't have much to say. I mean, oh, you know what we can say? Is that this is like the first podcast not hungover. Hey, how about that?
For me, at least.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no drinking last night. How about that?
What a change.
I don't know. I didn't really play.
This podcast is going to suck.
Yeah, it's
going to be good job.
Fall flat.
You know what?
Jason's not hungover. I'm fucking sick.
I'm ashamed of you guys.
I don't know
what's going on.
I have to live vicariously through you guys.
No. I don't know. Not much really is going on here. I haven't played much in the way of video games. I've just been trying to get this more and more content out for the podcast. We did the pre-release, which was awesome, and then me and Knife City here picked up a booster box, and those videos will be up, probably are up by the time this podcast is released. So that was exciting. Cracking up some new packs. I'm not used to those kind of boxes. This is a good time. But I don't know what's up, Knife.
Knife. What have I been doing lately?
Shanking fools.
Me and my girlfriend almost broke up over Super Mario Brothers.
That happens all the time.
Dude. So the one for the Wii. We never played it.
Super Mario's for the Wii?
Yes, for the Wii.
I thought that's all they had on the Wii. Yoshi and Super Mario, that's it.
It's the only one's worth playing. But yeah, we're, you know, behind the times. We just played it. But the characters, like, can actually, like, get in the way of one another, and it happens quite frequently.
That's, like, the point, though, right? You kind of, like, fight each other as you're doing the level.
Dude, if you want to, like, that's a relationship tester game.
That's what it turns into. It's, yeah. Just everybody fights each other.
It's, like, yeah.
Was it Mario and Luigi, or, like...
Yeah, yeah. Speech, well, like, you could choose between, people? Like, the Mario, like, mushroom Luigi, people.
The toadstools.
Yeah, the toadstools.
Mushroom people.
Mushroom people. Anyways. We were, like, kind of bickering the whole way through. It, like, took us, like, a week or two to finish it. But, like, the last level, we just kept getting stuck on. And, like, one night, like, our roommate came out and was, like, watching us play. And he was, like... Man, you guys need to, like, stop playing this game. This is detrimental to your relationship. Stop jumping on my head. Well, you just took the mushroom and the flower. You don't need them both. Like, it was just, it was bad. But, yeah, we finally beat it, and I'm single now. No.
All worth it.
Yeah. So, that's fun. Her birthday's coming up, and I bought her Thief, out on Xbox One. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The DOS game?
What?
The original DOS game?
Yeah, apparently it was on the computer before. I don't really know. I know, like, zero about it, but she wanted it. And then I also pre-ordered Watch Dogs.
Oh, nice. Because
she was kind of... It piqued her interest, and I was, you know...
You want to play it too, right?
Yeah, I definitely want to play it. Thief, I'm like, whatever, but Watch Dogs looks pretty cool. I feel the same way. Cool.
Thief, I'm not interested.
But yeah, I'm like, I could just play Grand Theft Auto and probably do, like, the same shit, but funner.
More fun.
Yeah.
More funner.
More funner. And, today is the unofficial Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
Always.
And also, I have 5 years clean and or sober today.
Oh, shit. Woo! Hell yeah. Applause.
Just happens to be on the unofficial Star Wars Day. Sometimes life works out perfectly like that.
All planned.
Plan that out.
No, I wish I would have had the foresight. I didn't even know about it until, like, I had, like, 6 months clean, and I Googled it, and I was like, the unofficial Star Wars. Oh, my God, this was meant to be.
It's destiny.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's exciting. Kind of a big deal. And other than that, I'm fucking excited about all these fucking new cards, dude.
I know. I have to learn all these new cards.
I did not, like, study the spoilers like I have in the past. So, like, a lot of the commons, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What does this do?
A lot of card reading.
Yeah. So,
dude, the set has it's a nice spread. I mean, it really, between commons and uncommons and everything, it's great. All of it's great.
I can't wait to do a fucking Theros Born Nyx draft.
It's a nice bow on the whole block, you know? Like, I feel like it wraps it up pretty nicely. So let's hop into the pre-release hot sauce. What happened? What went down?
Oh,
what's
yeah.
It's the 411s.
So we cracked it open. I chose white. So we get that.
It's racist.
Dawn. Yeah, it's all. Gotta keep it a white thing, dude.
Come in your hood and everything.
Yeah.
I'll take white, please.
Let me guess. You want white.
Well, they didn't have brown.
They didn't have brown.
They didn't have brown.
They have yellow.
Yeah. So I got that. And they got the Dawnbringer, whatever the hell it is, promo. Charioteers.
Those are like the best promo.
It's a good promo.
It's pretty broken.
Is that the flying lifelink one?
Yeah, for limited, it's like, if that thing stays on the board, you will win. You know what I mean?
It's a 2-4 flying lifelink for...
Like five.
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then that's it has heroic, so you're going to be hitting... You're going to trigger... Whatever you trigger heroic with is going to bring it to like four or five.
That's constructed playable.
It is. You know, it will be played for. Playable. It will be played on my decks. I don't know how like
widespread it is. How is that not? That's got to be.
Playable. You know, they had a deck from the Innistrad block. Or sorry, a deck. They had a card from the Innistrad block. It's basically the same thing without heroic, and it didn't see play.
Really?
And this is heroic, so I think it does make a big difference. But that didn't see any play.
Well, then again, the card pool that from Innistrad was so good. Like
true that.
It was hard to find. You know, oh, I have space for this 2/4 flying lifelink.
And then you know in this block they put a bunch of combat tricks in because heroic was one of the big things. So you need the supporting cards to make.
And there is good. Limited. You can so you'll always find some shit.
Oh yeah,
there's so many good combat tricks. It's ridiculous.
That's pack one, pick one, right there.
I think so for limited. Yeah, yeah, I think so.
No, yeah, yeah.
That's definitely. A bomb, dude. That's a bomb. If you can't answer for that, it's like game over.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that. So I had that, and I think I pulled a second one or something like that. And I didn't really pull anything worth money. I pulled an Ashiok from my packs, and it's pretty much it. Oh, I pulled that that Fleece Nyx Ram. Fleece Ram.
Is it the 05?
The 05. I'll tell you right now, that was a superstar of the whole deck. Is that thing would stay on the board. People didn't want to like waste the removal on it, but it gained life each turn, and most of my games... took, you know, let's say 10 turns, so I gained, like, fucking 8 life off it or whatever it was. So it really saved my ass a lot of the time.
What colors did you end up playing?
Yeah, I played white and red. So it was heroic. It was just, like, kind of like an aggro strategy. It was just a lot of combat tricks. So, you know, I'd bring out my 2 or 3 creatures or whatever else, and one of them would be, like, when it triggers heroic, target creature can't block this turn. Or something like that. So I was able to bring some stuff out. They would, and then I would be able to make it unblockable or give it first strike or something like that. So like, if whether I attacked or I blocked, I had some kind of trick to either get me through or kill their creatures. And so I went 3-1. There's five games that you play, but I had to leave for work after that. So I you know, maybe I could have gone 3-2, maybe I could have gone 4-1. I don't really know. But either way, I picked up. Because I had 3 wins, I picked up 2 booster packs for my success, and I pulled nothing. But it's okay.
Still, it's fucking
scary. I mean, I thought it was good. First of all, I liked all the cards and how they work together. It was fantastic. I thought that like every card is very playable. I didn't have like a lot of duds.
Yeah.
And I felt I did well. So I was hoping I could go 4-1. And even like the time that I went down, I didn't have my land draw. Simple as that. I had like one of the games I didn't bring out a permanent besides lands.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, I just kept I had one land in my hands. I put a land out and it was the wrong color land. I was like a red and I needed a white for my one drop or whatever. Yeah. And then I would keep going through whatever and I pulled out yet another red. Oh, and I'm like just sat there with 2 lands until turn 6 or 7 and he fucking killed me. And that was the end of that. So I had tons of shit lined up with just like one white source and all this stuff.
That anyways, man a screw.
So otherwise, yeah. I think I'm excited for the set. I thought it was great. I'm happy for what I did and I'm excited to draft more in this block. You know, it really added a lot. So what do you think, Knife? What's going on?
Well, I chose black. Shocker. And the promo was Doomwake Giant.
Right.
Yeah. And it's 4/6 for 5 in black. So already, that's like good. Good base stats in black.
And nice toughness.
Yeah, definitely good toughness. Got that big booty.
Fucking making portals.
Got that big black booty. It had Constellation.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Had Constellation. Whenever it comes out or an enchantment comes out, your opponent's creatures get -1/-1.
Till end of turn.
So that, I didn't know how that was really going to play out, and it ended up being pretty good. Pretty good. It's nice to, you know, screw up their combat math, you know.
Makes it a headache, pretty much.
Take out their said scorpions.
I was actually able to mostly wipe this guy's board after I brought out two enchantment creatures. Like, I brought brought the Doomwake Giant out, and then the next turn I drop like two, like, you know, three or four drop enchantment creatures. And so I just, he had a lot of low toughness dudes. He had 1/1 Death Touch Snake out, and I was able to, like, you know, wipe two or three of his guys out and left him with like one guy. But that was cool. So basically I went white-black, like the grindy sort of attrition, ping you for a couple, you know, life every turn. And I thought it was... So my pool was, like, horribly all over the place. Like, there was no clear-cut...
Yeah, like Irois.
Yeah, I pulled Irois. But the rest of my black card, or the rest of my red cards, just sucked so bad that I couldn't even like play it and feel good about it. And my white cards like were not very like aggressive, and everything was just so spread out. Like the pool was pulling me in. I could go really in any direction and have like the same grade of a deck. You know, like it was a C minus deck, you know, no matter which colors I picked. So I ended up, my best removal was in white and black. And so that's just where I decided to go. And, I had a lot of enchantment creatures, and I was hoping to just, play off Constellation. I had the black guy, which whenever he or another enchantment comes into play, opponent loses a life. I think there's a white one where I gain a life.
Those are all slow.
The white black, the coinsmith one.
Yeah, the white black coinsmith where, that's the gain a life one, and then I can pay a white and a black.
And
pay a life, and then they lose a life. I actually won a game with that guy. I triggered it three times, and I killed him. He didn't see it.
Yeah.
That was just a slow, grindy sort of deck I had. But I ended up going 2-1-2. My first game went to time. The first guy I played against, he had four gods in his pool. And
seriously, though, it was crazy. He had three in his what he was playing with, but then he had a fourth one that he just wasn't playable for his colors.
And
crazy.
Farika, wow, that is a pain in the dick right there.
Because of the snakes?
Because the snakes. Yeah. Like,
one death touch.
Yeah, if I didn't have, like, when I didn't have Doomwake Giant out, like they were, I couldn't fucking attack. Like that's probably why it went to time, because I couldn't attack through profitably. Mm-hmm. And even when I did kill one of his dudes, he just brought out a fucking another snake. So that was horrible. Mm-hmm. So that was game one. I don't really remember a lot of the decks I played. I played against Hot Sauce, and he just I got mana screwed, I think, both games, and his...
We played four games, actually.
Yeah, we played four games, and it was just horrible. My deck just... His deck was too fast for me.
We did get me in the last. We played four, and then I got three, you got one. You got the last one pretty easily, but yeah.
Yeah, so... And then the last game I played was against, like, a black-red... sort of Minotaur, sort of not deck, and I just shit all over that guy. But everybody there was super, super nice. I wanted to pre-release at Fred's, but it was packed, it was booked, and San Diego Games of Comics is a little bit bigger.
Fucking slammed with people. Yeah, oh my god, there's so many people there.
Set up tables outside.
Yeah. That second, like, when the noon crowd showed up, because we went, oh wait, no, the 3 o'clock. 3 p.m. 3 o'clock crowd showed up. Yeah. We're like, what are all these people doing here? Where are they going to sit? Yeah. Oh, can we still play? Like, what is going on here?
Damn.
Dude, you wouldn't believe. There was like 150 people in this little place.
Shit. That place is small, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but definitely enjoyed myself. And I pulled the Irois, and that was pretty much the only quote unquote money card I got. Mm-hmm. But I had fun, and unfortunately, because of that draw, I didn't get to get any packs. But I definitely had a fun time.
And it's a great way to stay in shape.
Yeah, exactly. So what about you, Quick?
I chose white, obviously, because I had the best promo.
Racist.
And I know.
And, white
white's the best.
Since they've done this kind of pick your kind of guild slash color since Return of Ravnica, because that's where it originally started. They started doing this. You get these seated packs in your little chosen color pack. And it's supposed to be more of the color you picked. The cards are going to be in there. And one of the things was is that Aspiros had a higher chance of being in the white pack. Because the first color pip on the card was white. So that's where they kind of put it in. And lo and behold, got it. Opened it up. You know, got my Dawnbringer. Had like a second whatever uncommon. And then boom, Aetherios was there as my second rare.
So nice.
It was awesome. I enjoyed it. So unfortunately, I didn't end up playing it. Just because my black was really bad. Like, I literally had like zero black removal. So I'm like, there's no.
I didn't pull any removal either.
Yeah,
I didn't play black, but when I was looking through the colors, I was like, "This is bullshit." You know,
exactly.
When I went in there, I wanted to play white black. I thought it'd be the most exciting, most my style. But
exactly. And then I pulled a Iroas as well out of my Journey booster. So those are like the big cards I got, but I ended up playing Naya, like a Naya aggro strategy. So it was a white, green, red. It was pretty good because I had good cards for the strategy, even though I really had no removal besides like a lightning strike, which isn't even that reliable. So, you know, I was able to curve out with a fire drinker satyr turn one, and then like turn two, I'd go into like fleece mane lion, and then turn three, I go into like fanatic of Xenagos. And then turn four, like, Iroas. So, like, I had a really good curve if I get, like, the nut draw. And I was able to do that one time. And the dude was just like, what the hell? Like, how do I beat this? Like, it's pretty hard to beat.
You're right.
And one guy was walking by. It was pretty funny. He looked down. He's like, hey, bro, this is sealed. We're not playing standard decks here. He's like, no, I pulled this. This is my pool. He's like, wow, man. No wonder you're in the top, like, one or two tables. I was like, yeah, hopefully I can just stay here. but yeah, it was good. I got really greedy by playing the three colors because I had zero fixing and I didn't have any removal. So it was a really greedy deck, but it was the best combination of cards I had with what I had. So I went 3-2. I won the first three, which was I was like stoked about because I was like, yeah.
Yeah, because you were like table two right there.
Yeah. I got to the first table. So I was at table one at one of the games. And
nice.
It's pretty sweet because Brian Kibler, he's a pro player. You know, I was a higher table than him at one point. So I was like, yes, you know, this is my time to shine. But I lost the last two, unfortunately, because I screwed up one game with my Acroan Mastiff. It's the 2/2 for four in white. Where you pay one and you pay white and tap it and you get to tap a target creature.
Mm-hmm.
I accidentally tapped both my planes. It was the only two I had when I monstrous my fleece mane. When I only needed the one planes and I just didn't catch it at the time. I must have been like too deep in thought about my next couple plays. And I looked down to go tap it when he's going to attack. I'm like, crap. So I took like eight on the swing back. Because I, you know, he had a huge like, guy with a bunch of pants on it.
Right.
You need to lock it down.
A bunch of pants?
Bunch of pants.
All pants.
Yeah, about like five or six pairs of pants on it.
Oh my God.
A lot of legs.
So yeah, that kind of sucked. But, you know, overall, I was happy with my record, even though I had like one or two big misplays. Just because my card pool was very low, or very poor quality. Like, I had really good creatures. It's just I didn't have any removal or any like lasting way to deal with something besides trading or two for one myself with a creature and a combat trick just to trade with the creature. So, yeah, I was pretty happy. It wasn't bad. Got some good pools. So, obviously, the two gods alone, I could have called it a day and been happy by that. Like, with that.
That's a good pull.
Yeah, Aetherios.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a really good pull.
Exactly. Okay, I was jealous for sure. I mean, I got to pick up two of those things. So I have to spend money the old-fashioned way?
Yeah.
I don't want to, but I will.
But yeah, and then I got, like, two boosters for going 3-2. And then, like, if you want 4-1, you got 6. And if you want 5-0, you got 12 packs.
Damn!
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Yeah,
did anyone go 5-0? Do you know?
Yeah, somebody went 5-0. I didn't know who.
Damn.
But yeah, out of my boosters that I won, I only pulled like a DS side. That's the most exciting card. So it's like $3 to $4 card right now. So that was my pre-release side. I wanted to try. They had a thing there where Brian Kibler was there, and you could bring a standard or modern deck, and you can play against them for booster packs. I wanted to try that, but it was going on during our rounds, so there wasn't enough time to sneak off and do that. So
the Kiblers,
yeah,
the
Kibler elves. That would have been fun, but oh well.
Did you get to talk to Keebles?
No, did not talk
to Keebles. Was he just swarmed the whole time, I bet?
Pretty much,
so,
yeah.
They had every round or whatever, every game you could play, they had four tables that were like the, what do they call them?
Spotlight
tables. And whoever the winner of that spotlight was, they get to spin a wheel. And on the wheel, they had like all the gods, all the newest gods from Journey to Nyx.
Johnny as well.
Johnny was on there. They had like a playmat.
Mm-hmm.
They had
Wasn't one of
packs.
Them like a hug?
And that's what I was going to get to, is that one of them was a hug from a hug. Brian or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no fucking hug. So anyways, I got to spin because I won the first game. So I got to spin the wheel, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, don't give me a fucking hug. Like, I don't care about this guy, you know? So, and I went through, and it was a booster pack, and then I got the playmat.
The third one.
You get three spins, and you get to, like, keep whichever one you want the most. If you spin the right thing on spin one, you're good to go. Keep it.
Yeah.
But I didn't get shit on the first two, so luckily I got the playmat on three, but yeah,
the hug. Pretty sweet.
What's that?
Was the playmat pretty
sweet? They're not in yet. Like, they put me on a list.
Okay.
They have them. Like, they said I can come back anytime next week, which is this week. So yeah, I could have been there this week, but I'm not going to drive out there for a playmat. So but it was cool. Like, you know, that was nice.
That's
nice.
Sweet,
it was kind of cool.
So a little extra stuff.
The first one was kind of easy, so I felt kind of bad because the guy was like, he's kind of scatterbrained. You know what I mean? He was being real strange. He would separate his deck, and he would draw seven cards from the middle.
Really?
Yeah. And he's like, "You, is that a cool? I'm like, I don't fucking care. You do whatever you got to do, man. I mean, that's weird, but is it against the rules? Maybe.
Yeah.
I have no idea, but I don't care. Because he just, like, I still shuffled the shit out of it. And then he would just pick it up, pull seven cards in the middle. They weren't sleeved. He was really weird about tapping mana. Like, when he bring out the mana, he would, like, I don't know if he's trying to fuck with me or what. He'd, like, bring it out, and then when he tapped it the first time, he would just, like, leave it tapped for the rest of the game, basically. And he was doing all the math, like, properly. Like, next turn, he wouldn't untap and do his stuff. He would just leave him tapped and just kind of count it out and then throw out his cards. And I was keeping track, and I was like, okay, you're doing it all perfect.
Yeah.
Everything's fine, but you're weird as shit. What's wrong with you?
Weird me out, bro.
Yeah, you're not playing it. Like, you're not helping me out at all by you doing that. You know what I mean? It was really odd. But it was all, his math was solid. So that was good. He didn't get any advantage off of it, but he could have, you know. So
that's weird.
It's very strange.
You weren't paying attention. Yeah, he definitely.
Yeah, he could have. But no, he was. I mean, I went 2-0 with him.
A sudden drop on turn four.
Yeah.
What?
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, overall, though, it was great, right?
That's fine. I missed out,
sorry.
Dude.
Sorry, man. I'm sorry.
I missed that. I wish I could have been there. I had to handle some other important things,
green
I guess.
And red, like I said, I was going to for you since you weren't there.
I know.
So
I was there in
spirit.
White. But, man, I had to take care of wedding shit, so, you know, that's the way it goes. Next time. Next time I'll be there.
I'm excited to go back there. Like we said, the people there are really friendly. And it's, like, very enjoyable. And it's a little, it's not really that much of a drive, but it is, like, 15, 20 minutes from here or whatever. Fucking worth it. And it's cool.
Yeah. The people that showed up there were all really nice. It's a good group of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like something you want to go back to.
All right, it's enough sucking their dicks, guys.
Yep.
And we played Hacky Sack afterwards. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, these two guys brought out a Hacky Sack. And then, like, this other guy was like, hey, can I get in on this? And then I was, like, watching it for a minute, and I was like, alright, I gotta get in on this. Like, it's been years since I played Hacky Sack, so.
How'd you do on that?
I did better than the pre-release.
Oh, so you went 3-2. You went 3-2 on the Hacky Sack?
Because I got done, I came out and I saw him playing Hacky Sack, so I was like, alright, I'll just smoke a cigarette while they're doing this. And he was, like, pretty much owning them.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious.
So I think next time, instead of going to a Magic tournament, I'm going to go to a Hacky Sack tournament.
No, you're going to go to a Magic tournament and just play Hacky Sack outside.
Yeah, exactly.
For money. Well, they have those Hacky Sack tournaments next to the cup stacking tournaments and all those other stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's the same place.
Yes. ESPN 8.
Oh, shit.
All right, what's next on the agenda, you kooky bastards?
Oh, man, I think we have some what?
Breakout cards, right? Something like that. What do we like?
New cards,
all that stuff.
There's some good ones. New cards. Not for my colors, but there's definitely some good black and white colored cards.
Yeah, there's like nothing for your monsters.
For like green or red, like maybe the constellation. The
Hydra Broodmaster.
Yeah, Hydra Broodmaster, which is like awful.
No, it's pretty good. But it's not.
I don't think I'd play it.
I kind of like it.
I don't know.
I think it's okay.
Not for my deck, probably, but. I mean, the only thing that I really like was that prophetic. Flame Speaker or whatever it is, the 1/3 double strike.
Trample,
It has trample and double strike and exiles because it exiles two cards. But other than that, I mean, it's still a 3-drop.
And like the hard thing is too is like it's a 1/3 with double strike and trample. Yeah, but like
it dies to so much removal.
A bear can just get in front of it and just like make it so you can't get those cards.
But there's tricks for days. And
yeah, but if you have the guy out and you're attacking and you're spending mana to get him through, the cards you exile, you're not going to be able to play really. They're just going to sit there and it's like, well, I can't play this.
You can only play it that turn too. They don't they're not like Nightveil Spectre where you can play it any turn. It's like you have to play that exile card that turn. So if it's not like a land or something like that, if you don't have any mana to play,
you do the Nightveil Spectre trick with your prophetic planeswalker where you hold the land. If you have a land already, you hold it because if you hit on your deck a land, you want to play the land because you can. And it counts for your land for the turn. So that way, you know, you get some sort of card advantage still.
Right. And then they have, like, in this set, they had a Strive card that's, like, 1 red, and a target creature can't block this turn, and it's Strive for another red. So you pump them. You can just, like, make their whole thing unblockable for a few mana or whatever.
But then again, it goes back to the whole thing where you're using mana on a card that wants you to use mana once you connect with it.
So, yeah, right. I think he's more...
In some ways.
He's like a limited all-star, I think.
Yeah, he's definitely limited.
You can add some evasion to it.
I'm sure you can get him in a constructed deck if you tailor a deck around him.
Yeah, top
but even that, like, you need, like, what the heck's that enchantment from...
Aqueous Form.
Yeah, you need Aqueous Form, or...
So you can scry first.
Or Madcap Skills.
Heroes.
Something that just makes his double strike just insane.
Or even that Gruul War Chant or whatever.
Yeah, the War Chant.
You know, now you say that Aqueous Form on that guy, is that for the scry?
Yeah.
That's huge.
First,
so and then you get to exile, too.
You set up one draw, you set it in.
That's actually kind of huge,
and
I think.
And then you can't get
blocked. I'd play that in Limited for sure. I would do that in Limited.
I didn't think 100%. Of that. That's a great combination. Of course, making it unblockable is one thing, but scrying and then getting to do the two cards, that's fucking pretty amazing, actually.
And then, you know, you're playing red-blue, so you can maybe, like, throw a Thassa in there. So you can set up one draw if you don't
and
like
your
it.
Your curve is low, so you can probably cast everything that you bring out. You can keep it like 3 drops or lower.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, so,
Or you can go with 3-color and pair it with green and get some ramp, so that way you can play like bigger stuff if you want. You know, who knows? It's one of those build around me cards.
Yeah, I think
That's what it was. I think that's the build around me card for this set.
That shit's like $8, son.
I know, right? I'm not gonna pay $7, $8 for
all the fucking cards are super expensive
for
right now.
For a 1/3. Yeah, they're gonna come down.
They actually went down. like some 1/3. Of the cards went down a lot.
Yeah.
It's surprising to see, but you know, it's about normal.
But yeah, for red and green, there's just not a whole bunch of good stuff, unfortunately.
I like not Magma Jet, but it's the 1 red, it deals 2 damage.
Exiles a card.
Oh yeah, that's Pillar Flame reprint.
No,
it's called
Magma Spray.
Yeah.
The only thing, it is kind of like Pillar of Flame, but it can't go to the face.
Oh, that's true,
That's huge, right? You'd want that.
It's just nice having the utility on the card.
Fuck, you're right. That doesn't do the face. I thought it did.
I think it's just like it's another card for another archetype of decks that can just deal with Voice of Resurgence. You know, that's the one thing you really want to do with Voice of Resurgence is exile it, so you keep, they don't get the token.
Right.
It's also like another good card. You know, just to get rid of any like X2. Which is also good. There's a lot of bears in the set, so a lot of people play them.
I played it in that on our tournament, and it, you know, it hit every time.
Yeah, it's gonna hit something. Yeah. Every deck has an X2 in it somewhere,
mm-hmm.
So it's not something that you're probably gonna main deck in a constructed format. But I definitely can see playing one in like your limited pool.
Absolutely,
kill that reanimator. But
exactly.
I think that like the main fucking the biggest card out of this whole set is probably like Mana Confluence, just because the mana base, just having that, you know, come in untapped, fucking color
I think mana you want. I think it's fantastic.
I think it enables like so many different kind of like aggro strategies. Like you can play like an aggro deck now and actually be able to splash like different colors like consistently.
I think it's like Guild Gates or anything.
It's going to really open up like the three color decks a lot more than they already are. You know, instead of having to, you know, play Shocklands or Scrylands, or even though, you know, those
Scrylands are great, but it's not for an aggro strategy. You don't want your lands coming in tapped, like, if at all possible.
Yeah.
Because you just need that mana, like, right then and there. You need to get your Hasters, your fucking, you know, your little guys out as quick as possible. But yeah, I think that's a really good card. I mean, it's probably going to be, I think it's like $16 right now for Mana Confluence. I don't think it's going to go down at all as long as it's in.
I think it'll go down a couple bucks from like this next month, you know, when just like a normal cycle. But I agree that it's not going to go down to $8 standard. Like that.
Well, it's what's the name of City of Brass? I think it's functional reprint or
pretty
whatever.
Much, yeah. So the wording's changed. Is that you don't pay the life on it becoming tapped.
Yeah.
You first pay the life as the cost to tap the card. And then you get the mana for it.
So I think, like, when that City of Brass came out in that set, the older set, like, it wasn't played that much, because I think there was just better options or something like that.
Some constructed decks like, did play it.
It wasn't
a lot.
I think it's just been reprinted so much, it's like City of Brass is really cheap. But I think this one, just for standard being the way it is, the mana, unless we see, like, something crazy in M15 for mana base, like, I think this is still going to be, like, the whole...
It's going to be huge.
The duration, it's going to be, like... $10 a card.
Pick up two, I would say, at the minimum. I think that a deck, if you can play four, if you can like somehow like deal with the life, hitting yourself for like the one life each time, whatever, then do it. But I think that any deck can benefit from just putting two in there.
Yeah. What about a mono color deck?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, mono color, it's like, I just want to hurt myself.
Yeah, run an eight.
You got to do eight in a mono color deck.
You know, the Mana Confluence on average is probably going to deal two damage to you. Realistically, just like a Shockland is going to, except you don't have to have that option of having to come untapped or tapped and paying the two life thing.
Right.
So you can kind of break it up.
And it's good for three colors instead of two. Well, it's good for any color, but I mean, you can have it for three instead of the two.
Yeah, exactly. So, my main thing is like, if you have a deck that you're going to play it in now, get it now. But if not, I think it's going to drop around in 15-ish time when that comes out, because I think there's going to be a new set of lands to come out.
But the lands don't come out in the core set. They come in the expansions.
They've done core set lands.
Like Czech lands.
Buddy lands, right?
Yeah, the buddy lands.
So it's not going to be...
The ones that come in tapped unless you control a blank or a blank.
Yeah.
Oh.
Glacial Forest. Taps for a white or blue, and it comes in tapped unless you control a planes or
those ones weren't M13. The ones that were whatever, the M12, those were in the Innistrad block. Those last ones you're talking about?
No, they're M13.
No, they're M13.
The Buddy Lands.
I'm thinking of something different then. Okay, I'm
getting
confused.
Yeah, there might be something else.
You might be, maybe like the Czech Lands or something like that.
Or the Czech Lands.
Czech Lands or Buddy Lands, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
The ones.
I thought they were from Czechoslovakia.
Oh, yeah.
The country's called. Okay. I just massively fucked that name up.
Czechlisopol.
But,
I don't know.
The Republic of
Czechoslovakia. So, like,
I think they're not around anymore.
There's no such thing where like your dual lands can come only from an expansion. They've done dual lands and core sets before, so I think we're gonna see some dual lands, because you gotta make up for the hole that the Shocklands left. You know, Scrylands are good and all, but I mean, if we're just gonna have Scrylands to play with for a long time, the format's gonna be like really slow.
Most of the buddy lands were in M sets, right?
Yeah.
I think one of them was in like an expansion, but I think most of the buddy lands were
like all my root board and crags and all that stuff.
Yeah, they were like
they're all
at 13, 11.
They like skipped a year or something like that.
Yeah,
it could be. They could bring back like the I don't know if they're called like the fast lands or something like that. Like It's a dual land that can come in untapped if you control like two or three or less lands.
Oh yeah.
So you know, you could see something.
I'd be surprised. Let's see what the mana base comes for M15, because I know they're not reprinting fetch lands, that's for sure.
I think I've heard some, like, a blog or a tweet from Mark Rosewater or something like that saying that fetch lands weren't going to be printed until at least 2015.
Yeah, even if it's in a core, I doubt it'll be in a core. It might just be like a Modern Masters thing again, too.
It could be in a core set.
Yeah, I would hope it'd be in a core set.
That would make sense.
Because then they can put all 10 in at once.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to break them up.
That's true. But
so,
yeah, then they wouldn't be around for.
But yeah, but that's one of the all-star cards, I think, coming out of Journey of the Knicks. But I mean, there are some good, like, fucking White gets all these good cards. Just for, like, you know, the new Oblivion Ring is amazing. Banishing Light. You get fucking Deicide, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You get the fucking, what's that, Flyer? Well, this is for limited more, but the 2/4 Flyer with Lifelink.
The Dawnbringer Charioteers.
Yeah, the Charioteers. That's fucking amazing. I mean, Black's getting some good shit. More land, like, fucking give me your cards out of your hand, hate.
Yeah. Master of Feasts.
Brain Maggot. You know, you get Dictative Erebos. You get Extinguish All Hope.
But I think Master of Feasts, like, I want to see where that lands. Like, because I don't. Because it's a 3-drop, right? It's
3-drop.
It's 2 black mana, 1 colorless, right? And it's a 5/5, but the downside of it is your opponent gets to draw a card or something like that, right?
On your upkeep.
On your upkeep. So I don't think that's that big of a downside for having a 5/5 flyer
on turn 3.
As long as the deck is built appropriately.
But I'm just trying to think
a card
like
that, I think that's huge, a big deal.
Like, where would mono black would just probably take Night Vale Spectre out if they run that? Or was it like Pack Rat? What's the 3-drops in mono black?
3-drops, you have Underworld Connections, Hero's Downfall, and Night Vale Spectre. Downfall.
What's Pack Rat?
Pack Rat, that's a 2.
It's a 2-drop. Okay.
Lightbane Zombie's also 3.
Lifebane, yeah, a lot of people have cited out their Night Vales for Lifebane, especially mono black mirrors.
I don't even think Master of Feasts goes in the current mono black.
You think it's for something else?
I think it will take Night Vale Spectre's spot once
it rotates.
You're
losing Desecration Demon, and you'll be losing Night Vale Spectre when rotation.
After rotation, he'll definitely.
Oh, he'll be an
all star
for sure. Yeah.
But right now he's not.
Well, that's if Black's still well positioned, but it will be because there's fucking Thought Seizes
like,
in the format.
You would want to take Pack Rat is probably like the weakest link because it's up in the air most of the times. Either it can win you a game, or you play on turn 2 and they kill it, or get rid of it, or, you know, you discard, like, 3 cards, you have 4 Pack Rats, and then they Detention Sphere or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the weakest link to replace, but Pack Rat is just so good that it can steal a game that you can't really take it out of the deck.
No, Pack Rat's an all-star, dude. That card is, for what it's in, like, the build that it's in right now, that is, like, the amazing card.
I think that Master of Feasts in, like, the current mono-black thing, I don't think it's playable yet. I think it's still very strong. I think that the games go too long for mono-black to that's an advantage.
Do you think, maybe, like, an aggro strategy would be?
Yeah, no, I see there's other things, but when you guys mentioned, like, taking something out of mono-black, I don't think taking something out of mono-black is worth this card in where it is right now. I think that if you're trying to draw cards, Underworld Connections or whatever, minus a life, and you're giving them the same benefit for your 5/5 flyer, and the game goes too long. It's not like your mono black doesn't usually take it out by turn 5 or 6. I feel that when it plays a tier 1 deck, that it takes like longer. It's still going to win and has answers like constantly. I think that it's just it's not quick enough for it to use a card.
The devotion strategy is more of like a controlish type deck, especially since if you look at it. Until about like turn 6, they're only casting one card or one spell a turn, and that really hurts the deck, especially since a lot of its stuff's a 1/1. So if your opponent can pressure the board enough by deploying enough threats, mono black can get really behind, and then their only out is like a Desecration Demon if they can't tap it, or a Great Merchant,
right,
to gain some life or provide a blocker and something like that.
Yeah.
And then it's hard because then like it makes it really it's a hard decision to make. To either activate Underworld Connections and lose the life, and you can possibly get blown out next turn, or you know you can just draw a card and it saves you. So it's really tough, and then you really have to play it right. But I don't think Master of Feast goes in a devotion strategy
right
now, just because there's much better options. Even though the power level is probably not that high, just that extra pip on the card itself. But the converted mana cost does so much that you can't really replace it.
What do you think's a bigger downside? Master of Feasts or Desecration Demon? Which one is the bigger downside?
I think Desecration Demon, because you can remove them out of play completely.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Because you can have, like, chump. Like, I mean, chump blockers will always be a thing, but I mean, like, being able to tap the demon, like, say,
him not being able to do damage.
Yeah, not like, do anything. He's just pacified.
Yeah.
Just well, for sacrificing it's kind of like you're fogging him for. It pretty much says sacrifice creature, fog, desecration demon, except that it grows bigger. So eventually.
It does swing for like.
So when it does game, swing, when you're going to be swinging for like 10.
Yeah, I do think that Master Feast has a bigger one.
Yeah, it can get Master Feast, like. You'll have a time where you'll play Master Feast and they'll get their extra card and it's a kill spell. Whereas it would have taken them like a turn or two if it didn't have the draw an extra card to hit that kill spell. And then you could have deployed like maybe another Master or, you know, a Desecration Demon after that. And then now I have like more threats to deal with and only one kill spell.
They both have big downsides though, and we've all seen games where like the demon does nothing because he always is able to bring out a creature like, that is to sacrifice. There's all kinds of scenarios like that. So I can understand that the demon does have a pretty big downside.
Yeah.
But I think Master is a bigger downside.
Especially since like you play Desecration Demon in a deck that runs like so many kill spells that like eventually he's gonna swing. And when he does swing, it's gonna be for a lot. So yeah. I think just right now in the deck, the decks that kind of want these two cards, that Desecration Demon's a little bit better. So it does come down a turn later, but it does have an extra point of power and toughness, and it can grow as well. So along with, you know, taking out your opponent's creatures, so I think it's much better.
I've already found a place for Master in my M15 discard deck, so
that would be sweet. That would be perfect. See, something like that.
That's the perfect home
the right
for
strategy. I think it's a crazy good card
because
they're eventually going to run out of cards.
Yeah, and so half my deck will be dead.
Yeah,
and so if they're drawing cards on my turn, so if it's a creature or a sorcery or a land, yeah. Lands are kind of hard to get out of people's hands, but for the most part, I mean that seems like a perfect fit for it. Whereas, like, maybe, like, a black aggro deck would benefit from it because they don't care. Black doesn't care what you're doing. It's just going to fuck you up, and it's going to fuck themselves up.
As long as it can hit for 5 on turn 4, that it's done its job.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to do anything more than that.
Exactly. So, I think it's a really good card, though. I was really excited to see Desecration Demon's little brother.
Yeah.
Little
fat and you pulled one out, too. You know,
yeah, I got one. I got one.
Yep.
I was excited.
What do you guys think about Athreos?
Love it.
Think he's going to be, like, a thing?
Dude, think about Athreos across the table from Desecration Demon.
Yeah. That'd be
you're sacking a creature, and then they have to pay a life or return it to your hand.
I'm trying to think, like, what would he be in, like, you know, the black-white aggro strategy?
I think he fits perfect in my humans deck.
In humans deck?
It is perfect in humans deck, I think.
I don't know if he's really a good card for an aggro strategy.
But how much do you think there's going to be like enchantment hate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think like enchantment hate's going to be a thing now, or do you think people are not going to like alter their decks too much for?
So
for
they would have to either run Deicide or some of the green exile. Banishing Light.
Unravel the Aether, which is a good one.
Let's Unravel the Aether.
It's the green one where it shuffles
the
library.
Yeah, there's green exile.
You know, Detention Sphere. All those types of effects are always really good, and they always see play. Top tier decks.
But I think Athreos is one of the top gods to come out of the set.
Knife, I think that for me and you, that we play strategies that utilize a card like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe these two jokers. No, they. I don't know if that they play those kind of combinations, you know, that really that a card like that would do anything for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But for us, we, like for the Newt deck, which I've brought up a few times, that shit, it requires
perfect.
It.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sacking the Newt all the time. You either bring it back to
Newt.
I'm going to bring it back to my hand and do it again, or it'll go in the graveyard and you'll take fucking 3 life, and then I'll bring it back
in the graveyard,
so who cares? Like, it's going
to
be huge for that.
That's a 7-point swing right there at that combo.
Yeah,
they
all
take
the time.
4 off the bubbling
seven,
cauldron, and
or,
if they want it to go to the graveyard, that's an extra 3
and
on top
seven,
of it.
They get to choose 7 or 8, because if they put it back in my hand, they get to do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
it's messed up.
Out of all the applications I can see for it, like, in your Newt deck, it just makes that deck, like, it bumps it up to, like,
bunker
tier 1.5 tier fucking style deck.
It will never become a creature in that deck, but you don't need it to become a creature in that deck.
Right, it'll never become a creature, you're right.
It might become a creature in my humans deck, though.
It will become a creature in
humans
deck.
Everything is double white or double black.
Yep.
So
everything counts. You're not trying to fight for, like, a mono white or the white god or the black god. You know, you're fighting for both. So any pip counts. Good to go.
Exactly. And what do you guys think about that? The white dictate in my humans deck? I haven't really come down on what I think of it.
Dude, I've played it, and it's fucking sick.
Yeah.
I mean,
doing like a one dictate and one spear combination will be good.
You'll see that later.
You get both effects.
Yeah, if you draw two spears.
Yeah, you can't do two of the spears, and then at least you get the extra benefit on the Spear of Heliod, where if you have mana up, you can destroy a creature when they crack back on you. Yeah, so it's good to have both, but not like multiples. Or you can
flash it in at the last second.
Yeah. The deck I'm talking about later has one of each.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with that strategy. Yeah. I haven't seen it used yet, but I agree that you should have either you do one of each or two of both or something like that. I think that it's good.
Kinda
I
understand like that one's legendary, but still. White Weenie Anthem deck, where you just run every Anthem and a bunch of White Weenie guys, and then you just throw them at people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'm going to run one of each, because I have two spears right now in there. Probably just take one out and put a dictate in there. Just so I can say, when I flash it in right before I attack, I can scream out, "How's my dictate?" Shout out to the 18.
Oh, so good, so good, so good.
Yeah.
I think it's great, though. I think that I haven't played like the black one yet. I think that's kind of cool, but I don't know where to use it.
Yeah.
But the white one, I mean, white fucking loves this shit. And it's a nice party trick, you know? You get to flash it in. It works well. It holds up the whole fucking game. You know, it's sweet. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I definitely want to play the Black Dictate in my Junk Midrange deck. That'll be really nice to help. Because, you know, the Junk Midrange, it's very resilient, but you're only playing, like, a couple creatures at a time or only have a couple out on the board. And anytime they go away, I need, you know, either to have another creature ready or I want some effect on it. So having to sacrifice creature is really good. I also think Athreos is better in, you know, other than, you know, Hot Sauce Festering Newt and Knife's Humans deck, I don't think it really lends itself to an aggro type strategy. I think it's better in a mid-range type deck archetype overall. Just because it gets to a point where they don't care if it bounces back to your hand, because a lot of the smaller creatures don't really have, there's not a lot of enter the battlefield effects, so it doesn't matter going back to your hand. It's like, sure, replay your 2/2. Like, I don't care, because now I have a 5/5 and I have a 6/6 on the board. So I don't care if it goes back to your hand, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why I don't think it really lends itself to an aggro strategy unless it, like, can have take, like, really abuse the ability, like your Newt deck can or your Humans deck can, because now you're getting zombies on top of it, which is really good. So you're getting the added benefit, but, like...
And then when those zombies die, they're tokens, so they're just gonna not. They're not gonna take it.
Still. Yeah. Oh yeah, I'll take 3 damage on those tokens that aren't going back in your hand.
Yeah, exactly.
They're tokens, they'll convert to mana cost. I can play it for free.
Yeah. So I mean, that's the only reason why I think he lends himself better to a mid range strategy. And then, you know, my junk mid range, I'll be able to turn him on as a creature as well. He's only gonna be a one of in the deck because I don't want to have too many. Because I need like Thob's Dats and the Blood Barons. I really need the high impactful creatures.
Yeah.
And so,
how many would you put in your new deck?
Two.
Yeah, I'd put two.
That's
two.
I already have it. I rebuilt it online. I don't have it, of course, in paper yet.
Yeah.
But I just did the tapped out thing to bring in that and the Deicides and something else I brought in. I forget, but
Deicides for sideboard?
Mainboard.
Really?
Yep. I play two revokes, so I play now. I've switched them out for the dictate. I'm sorry, for the Deicide. Yep. There's a lot of enchantments. I don't know. Yeah. It worked out when I played it at the FNM. Yeah. It all worked out. You know, I never had to hold it in my hand for too long. I had a question for Reich, though. Is that is Journey into Nyx going to do anything for your deck?
Red green mid range monsters? Probably not.
No.
Not that I can see. Maybe. At a mana confluence, but I don't even need that. My mana base is pretty solid.
I think,
with all my ramp and the Caryatids, but anything, it may be a Hydra, but I think for right now, as far as I can tell, mine's pretty trim. It's lean, mean, green machine.
Okay, because Born of the Gods brought you the freaking Courser.
Yeah, Courser was a huge add from Born of the Gods. Yeah. I mean, the God is okay. I'm almost contemplating taking the God out of my deck. Xenagos God.
Because
he's just too slow. He just win more for me. Yeah. Like, by the point where I can activate him and use it, it's like I'm already pretty much winning.
It's good in the mirror.
Yeah, it's good in the mirror for sure. But,
you know, outside of that, I think you can find better cards.
Yeah.
Dual slot.
But, yeah, I mean, honestly, I can't really, like, the flame prophetic flame spear was the only other thing, but it's like a 3-drop already. I have Courser. I don't want to butt anymore for a 3-drop.
Yeah, Courser does more.
Eidolon of the Countless Rebels and, like, a sideboard type deal.
Drawing some cards.
Maybe.
How much of their enchantment stuff do you have?
It does the 2 damage to a player who casts a spell that's 3 mana or less.
I was thinking of the Eidolon of Blossom.
If I was rolling like
which other one you said?
It's the 2-2 for...
What's it called?
Eidolon of Countless Rebels, I think.
Countless Rebels, okay.
Yeah. That's a Blossom. That's really cool for, like, I think more of an aggro strategy, though.
Yeah.
I want to build, like, an aggro... But, I mean, for mine, it would probably maybe a sideboard. I'd rather have, like, Burning Earth in my sideboard, though.
Yeah.
For that kind of a deal. But, yeah, I don't really see, unfortunately.
Now Rex. Everybody's playing, like, 12 Scrylands in their decks.
So, yeah. Like, I think Burning Earth might make a comeback if Mana Confluence is more out there now. Because I think that doesn't count as a non-basic land.
No. Has to say basic land on it.
So that might, I don't know. I'm just kind of waiting to see what happens. Like, I don't know if the cards that Nyx brought is really going to shake up the metagame that's out there, like Mono Black, like, being the end-all be-all for right now, and, like, control. But we'll have to see how it pans out. There's some good cards for white, though. I think white's going to make an appearance, like, more, like mono-white aggro or, like, black-white aggro is going to be, like, a thing now.
Have you thought of maybe shifting to, like, a Naya or a Jund?
I was thinking about maybe Jund. I'd probably actually want to do Naya, but just for freaking
Banishing Light or something.
Banishing Light, just all the, like, the nice white stuff that came out. But I mean, yeah. I think Jund's probably still better well positioned than Naya.
Need the removal.
If anything, I'd probably switch over to, like, a hexproof, like a Naya hexproof.
Oh, okay, yeah, if that'd anything. Be good.
Because Mono Black's is out there, it hoses Mono Black nicely.
Run your Storm Breaths in there as well.
Yeah, I would drop in some Storm Breaths for sure. But Hexproof is definitely. Yeah. I think there was another Hexproof creature that came out with Nyx.
Yeah, it's green.
So sick, dude.
So
has that reach too.
Yeah, has reach. Really so
fucking such a good card for that deck, dude.
But yeah, red, green, mid range. I don't see too much shaking up. It's nothing like freaking War of the Gods. That should
red green should go instead of just doing the standard red green strategy.
I think they
should go to a 3-color.
Yeah, I think they're gonna have to go Naya or Jund.
Yeah.
I think Jund's gonna be big after rotation.
Yeah, Jund's definitely well positioned.
I see it taking over.
Just black and using any black in any deck is pretty much just so good.
You have, like, Hero's Downfall and Thoughtseize. Like, that's all you gotta say about black. Yeah. And you're like, yes, I want to play black just for those two cards.
Yeah.
Well, even, like, adding a Master of Feasts, because you're going to be...
Well, I think when Domri ends up going away, I think more people are going to be playing more... Because the only thing that's holding me back from playing, like, Jund or anything like that is because Domri's in the format. Yeah. Domri doesn't hit spells or instances, and that's the huge thing. Like, you want as many creatures as you can to be able to proc off Domri.
You don't want
to
dilute it.
Yeah, you don't want to mess up your chances of hitting another creature in this kind of format with Domri.
That's especially why you play all the mana ramp guys, too.
Yeah, exactly.
It helps with Domri as well.
But as soon as Domri goes, I'm definitely going to start playing more, like, probably like a mid-range control.
Yeah.
Probably pick up something like that.
Once it rotates out, you think you're going to stay 2-color or you're going to want to stay...
I'll probably go 3-color. Depending on...
Sounds good.
M15 comes out, once I see the mana base in M15, if it supports 3-colors, then I'm definitely rolling 3-colors. Yeah. For sure. Probably do Naya, though.
Yeah, Naya seems pretty good. I just like Madcap skills. Just that card alone. Madcap skills and Ethereal Armor. You put those two together, and I just feel like it's... You know, on any 1 or 2 drops,
people can see
it's
bro.
Hard. It's hard.
I know that's a rough.
It's one
lineup.
Of those things. It's like, okay, well, I have, you know, I have to put like 2 to 3 okay cards together to make a great situation. But it's like you have to answer it now.
Yeah,
like it's either now or next turn, or else you're dead. And I just, you know, I either like the fast strategies where it's like you have to have an answer now within the next turn, or else I kill you. So like combo or aggro. Or I like the really attrition-y ones where it's like, okay, you let it go past turn 6 or turn 7, and I'm like at a 99% favorite to win the game just because my cards are that much better. And I, you know, that the whole middle ground thing where the mid range I haven't gone to yet. That's why I'm building a mid range deck.
Mid range works because there's so much ramp and like the ramp is so good. Like Sylvan, if there was no Sylvan Caryatid, then ramp probably wouldn't be that great because it's just having that hex proof on your ramp creature is just amazing in this format right now because it just can't be killed.
Yeah, you have to have like Anger the Gods or you have to have like an Edict effect or you know just some wrath in general or Edict to get rid of it. And
well, Supreme Verdict, right?
Yeah, Supreme Verdict is like the Wrath or Anger of the Gods will hit it, or things like Celestial Flare or, you know, Devour Flesh.
Yeah.
So there's only like four or five real answers to this guy or any Hexproof guy, and that kind of strategy archetype really needs a mana ramp creature, and Elvish Mystic is just too fragile to rely on.
There's a new
ramp? Golden Hind.
Golden Hind, yeah. I actually was thinking about playing this because it's a 2/1 body. Yeah. But
so do you get rid of Elvish Mystic, your one drop in favor of two drop mana ramp guys?
No, I think Elvish Mystic's still too good because just enabling turn 3 Domri right now is just too
much. Even if you don't have like a turn 2 play, or if you do, or you don't want to, I mean, not a turn 2 play, but if you don't have like a 3 drop you want to play on turn 2, you can still get in with one with the Mystic.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to wait till turn 3 with your Golden Hind just to get in 2 and not have a turn 4 play on turn 3, so.
I'm just going to tell you guys right now that I'm going to be a wreck. I'm going to be a mess when Domri leaves. Standard. I'm going
to
break down.
What do you think is going to happen to me?
I know.
I lose every card out of my deck. I lose Sphinx's Wrath, Detention Sphere, Jace.
You both are going to be like crying on the couch eating Haagen-Dazs. Why'd they leave me?
You know what, though? The shit goes away, too.
Yeah.
So my deck will go away. But that's okay.
That's funny, though.
Anyone else have any other cards we're thinking of? Anything sweet?
No, I think we hit the main ones. But I mean, I don't. It's just hard to say so early right now. I just want to see how the meta kind of shifts in the next couple weeks. Because I honestly, in my personal opinion, the cards that came out are really good. But I don't think they're like meta changing. I don't think they're going to be like, oh, all of a sudden like blue red's gonna be like, oh, out of nowhere, like, oh, I have Kronos or whatever, I'm just gonna just,
I think there's gonna be a couple everybody. Probably two or three new decks come out of this. I think
I think I'll bring them up like 1.5 tier, but I don't think they're gonna be like tier one.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, there's a Star City Open that's going on. It's the first one since the set released, and I was surprised that a American Control, so blue white red, beat out the Esper Control decks. It's really weird because you know, Esper is just so good. You get the spot removal, and then the blue eye red control decks aren't playing the spot removal, but they're playing things like Turn and Burn, and you know, main deck Celestial Flares and stuff like that. They play Kronos in the list, which I think, you know, I think a lot of people were talking trash about him because he's 5 mana, do nothing until turn 6, but I'm going to turn 6 in a control deck anyway.
Yeah, you definitely are.
And I get to play Kronos on turn 5 and Elspeth on turn 6. And then, you know, I'm going to end the game in, like, 4 turns after that. So I'll probably get to, you know, bolt you to the face, like, 2 times, draw an extra card, and I'm putting, like, 3/1/1s every turn just to make them 3/3 flyers. So I think people just weren't looking at him properly in the right deck.
Right.
They felt like he should go in the American Control shell. But I don't think they were too focused on turning him into a creature rather than just breed him as an enchantment, which I think he really
would. I don't see like a red-blue turning into a creature anytime soon.
Yeah,
I don't
think that shit's when you think happen. Of red-blue, you know, burn and counter spells.
Yes.
And those aren't permanents.
Instants and sorceries.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
So, that's why I think that they had to put the text on Kronos exactly the way they did because it's really good to help out close the game. You know, it's inevitability, which the whole deck is about. It's inevitability. You know, if I can get to turn 6, you know, and I can survive an extra turn or two after that, you're going to die. Like I said, I'm going to be a 99% favorite to win the game, unless I punt the game really hard and lose somehow.
I think if you have Elspeth out, it's kind of hard if you don't tick him up or something. You just completely miss the trigger.
Yeah,
kinda,
exactly.
I think you're going to win the game no matter what. You land Elspeth.
I stepped out to get some water. Did you guys talk about Ajani at all?
No, we haven't touched.
No, not Ajani that yet. Cat man.
Oh, touch Ajani.
Touch Ajani.
Stroke Ajani.
You talking about that cat chest?
Yes.
I got 2 in the mail.
Stroke the cat chest.
Yep. That's for me.
Oh,
so you've changed your mind on Ajani.
Yes, first I was talking shit about him. I agree. But, you know, after seeing play, you know, I'll be very open. I'll voice my opinion on something. You know, definitely, I'll let people know what I think about a certain card. You know, stuff I like, but I'm not so proud as to keep saying that it's a bad card, even though I see something wrong. So
right.
I'm like a spike. You know, I play stuff that's proven, and I play to win. So like, my opinion on something is wrong. You know, I have no problem changing it, and I'm gonna play it.
And we have no problem pointing it out.
Yeah. You guys can all say I was wrong. You know, obviously I was wrong, so that's fine with me.
So I haven't seen what anybody's doing with it, Johnny. So what are people doing?
It's going to go in. Jeff Wilgan played the Junkman Range deck that I'm building right now. He played. He plays two of them in the main board, one in the sideboard, and he was able to ultimate a Johnny twice. So he had like 130 life at one point with an Obsidat and a Blood Baron on the table, plus an active Ajani still. So
which plus do they use in that deck?
Using the second plus mostly.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
On cards.
You know, obviously the first one, putting +1/+1 counters on it, is kind of like a fallback just in case your hand's really slow or very weak.
Yeah, it's not a horrible.
No, exactly. So you know, turning a Sylvan Caryatid into, you know, like a 3/6 blocker, or turning like your Scavenging Ooze with maybe one counter on it to like a 6/6,
yeah,
is really good. You know, it doesn't really work well with Obsidat because you're mostly blinking them in and out, so you're going to lose the counters anyways. But every other, you know, card in that deck, you know, you're running good creatures, but you're not running a lot of them because you're running more Downfalls, Golgari Charms, and Abrupt Decays.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other Planeswalkers in that deck?
There was a Elspeth, one Elspeth.
Of course.
And then...
If you're playing white, you've got to have at least one.
Yeah, exactly.
White for any reason.
And at the first iteration of the deck, he had two Elspeths and one Vraska. But
probably took the Vraska.
He took the Vraska to the sideboard and main, and one Elspeth he took out, and he main decked the two Ajani's, just because it helps dig you into the creatures that you need.
I know.
So you know, you can find a you know, your god, you can find, you know, a courser, you know, you can find just a bunch of stuff, Elspeth or another Ajani if you need it. So it looks like to be doing really good. I think it's more of a mid-range. You don't want to put him in an aggro deck, I don't think.
Don't want to put baby in the corner.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
But yeah, so that's what I've seen and read about of Johnny and how he's been doing in people's testing and, you know, tournament play and stuff like that. So, you know, I'll definitely change my tune. I definitely think he is going to be a contender. But I don't think it's going to be like Elspeth, or I don't think it's going to be a four-man any deck.
It's going to be hard to touch Elspeth, you know?
Yeah,
I think it's
going to
be like a Xenagos where most people just play two.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to, you know, because he has good stuff, but it's like you don't want him all the time.
It's a value Planeswalker. You know, he's not going to be there to end the game. He's going to help you to get there to end the game. So it's not like Elspeth where you let Elspeth just stay
where
there
just
for
broken.
A turn or two.
Yeah, so it's broken.
And it takes over the game. You know, Ajani's not going to take over the game, but he's going to get you to your Elspeth.
Yeah, he'll help you get there.
Dude, how is 3/1/1s a plus ability? You know what I mean? Like, how the fuck? How do you increase the Planeswalker?
On the old Elspeth, wasn't that like the minus?
Yeah, it's... It was plus one for one.
For one. And then you minus like two or three, and you got like flying or something like that for the end of turn or something.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. Yeah,
a little bit of an upgrade, I'd say.
Especially since there's not a lot of good creatures with trample in the format right now. So like, it's really hard. You have to have flying or some other card that gives you evasion somehow. So, like Intimidate or something like that. But yeah, that's how...
I like that Intimidate.
That's how good Elspeth is. Yeah, it's Johnny's going to get you to that.
Oh, man.
When it comes out, it's like, do I concede? It's like, no, I'll just wait two turns and see what happens. And nothing ever does, so whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty much over.
You get to about like 6 or 7 loyalty, and then you're just like, yeah, I can't win. All right.
Exactly.
I think the worst thing for me about... The tokens is fine. Like, okay, you can have 3 tokens, but I think her minus ability, where it kills creatures with power 4 or greater...
And then she has one loyalty left over.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor shit.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'll get rid of like all the threats that threaten us.
Like, no, I can win next turn.
Yeah.
Win anyways.
3 tokens next turn.
So. I'll win or I'll win.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and win. I like that option.
That's really bad for you. It's really bad for you.
It shouldn't be called Theros block. It should be called Elspeth block.
That's pretty much it.
Every other card in the block just helps Elspeth. That's all it is.
Do you have a deck, Jace?
Yeah.
Come on, Brewmaster.
Well, there's one because I was going to talk.
Brew Daddy Johnson?
What?
No, that's your new name.
Who is that?
That's you.
Another member of the podcast?
That's our mysterious fifth member.
There was
that keeps feeding us these decks.
Behind the scenes, pulling the strings.
Yeah.
I have my writers in the background that hand me these deck lists or whatever. Hey, talk about this one. Okay, good. Got it. Thanks, guys. Thanks. So there's one card I wanted to talk about, but I saved it for this because it's with I built the deck around, which is the Battlefield Thaumaturge.
Who came up with that name, by the way?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Damn English majors.
Yep.
That must mean something in some language that is not English.
So this deck is called Thaumaturge's Day at the Arcade, and it's a silly name, but I don't give a shit. I put it in the description on Tapped Out. I'm like, you could be playing Super Off-Road all day with the tokens this deck is making.
Oh, no.
So,
dude, I want that arcade game.
Yeah, Super Off-Road was the shit. So Battlefield Thaumaturge is a 2-1 for a colorless and a blue. Any instant or sorcery that you cast costs one colorless cheaper for each thing it targets.
It's a 2-1?
Isn't it? Yes. It's a 2-1, yeah. Huh. For 2 mana.
Like heroic ability on it.
Heroic ability gains hexproof till end of turn if it's targeted. So, pretty sweet. Sweet card. I think that a lot of people are interested in playing 4 of in a deck and seeing what they can do with all the cards. And an obvious one, I think, is Launch the Fleet. It's 1 white, and then it has a new mechanic called Stry, which we'll talk about later, but I'll touch on now. Just a little tip touch. It costs 1 colorless more for each other target beyond the first. So it says, whenever this creature attacks, put a 1-1 white soldier token onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. So basically, for 1 white mana, as long as you have Thaumaturge on the battlefield, for 1 white mana, you get to put... It targets all of your creatures on the board, and they all trigger whatever heroic effect they have. Hopefully they do have one. And then there's a 1-1 white soldier token that comes out attacking. So basically, it doubles your number of creatures, and they're all attacking, and it triggers heroic all for 1 mana.
I'm pissed.
It's fucking crazy.
I'm pissed it doesn't say human soldier tokens.
Oh, right. No, then it would be broken. Then it'd really be broken. It's already kind of broken.
So good.
Do I can ask for humans deck?
Oh, dude, it'd be ridiculous.
So the point of this deck is to bring out Battlefield. You bring out whatever creature you want. We have every creature here is like making tokens, basically. So we have Vanguard of Brymaz. It's that 2/2 Vigilance Cat, and it has a heroic ability, it brings out a 1/1 Vigilance Cat.
Right.
From that. Then we have Precinct Captain. We have 4 of those. That brings out a 1/1 Soldier token. Right. Then we have Brymaz.
Mm-hmm.
We have that. That brings out the 1/1 Cat Soldier tokens. We have 2 Artisan of Forms, which is a heroic. It has a heroic trigger where it can copy anything on the battlefield,
mm-hmm.
and then gain that ability. So if you heroic it again, then it'll change to whatever else you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We have so basically when you bring all these creatures and you hit them with Launch the Fleet, they're going to make tokens, and then you're going to have another token from that, and everything's only going to cost 1 mana. So you're going to flood the board with fucking tokens all day long. We have Curse of the Swine.
Tokens Arcade. I just got it!
Oh, my God. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it. I'm out of here.
We're going to edit that to the beginning of it. So we have Curse of the Swine, which is a card from, I think, Theros.
Yeah.
Is that right? It's 2
blue,
Curse of the Bacon. Yeah.
Curse of the Swine.
Okay. So it's 2 blue X. And whatever X is how many creatures you exile, and then it turns them into 2/2, like wild boars or some bullshit like that, right?
Little pigs.
So either way, I get to pay 2 and nothing else because it costs 1 colorless less. I get to pay 2 blue and exile anything on my opponent's side, all in one swing.
That's nice.
So and that's just ridiculous. It only costs 2. So I get to take care of Desecration Demon. It's exile, so I get to take care of Moist Resurgence, take care of the gods, take care of whatever, all exiled. Turns them into 2/2 boars, but we can deal with that.
Yeah.
We're playing in a card called Glimpse the Sun God. We're playing 4 of those. It is white and X. You see the theme here? How everything is free, everything is one mana. This is tap target creature your opponent controls, or tap target creature in general, scry one. So I get to tap all your creatures for one white, and I get to scry.
Nice. You know, there's another card that's like
for
that.
For blue, Gridlock? For permanence. But it doesn't scry, and it's permanence. Yeah. I don't care about permanence as much as I care about creatures. I think there's a benefit. Maybe you can tap like an artifact that taps or something.
Or you can like tap all their stuff down. Like, if it's all permanents, you can do lands as well.
Yeah.
So you can keep
them off. Non-land permanents.
Oh, non-land? It's non-land permanents,
So the, a lot of permanents that aren't creatures don't care if they're tapped or not, so I don't really care about that card as much.
It's just an extra one you can think
You're right. So I'm playing four of those. I'm playing two Hour of Need. Hour of Need is exile target creature. It has Strive also, so you get to do more. So it's exile target creature for two mana. It turns that creature into a 4-4 Sphinx with flying. So I can target my tokens that I make, turn them into 4-4 flyers, and this is an instant, so I can do it for blocking, and they think I'm going to block with this little token, 1-1 soldier token or whatever. I get to block with a 4-4 flying Sphinx. And it has Strive, so I get to target more than one token as long as I can afford it.
Nice.
So everything here is pretty cheap. As long as Battlefield is out, everything is super cheap. It's like one or two mana, no matter how many creatures it targets. Then I play two Detention Spheres, just because I need something to do something. Yeah. Detention Spheres are good. I have one of the Dictates of Heliods and one of the Spear of Heliods. So same thing. All my tokens get plus one, or all the tokens get plus two. So everything is going to be coming at you real fucking hard, and the tokens are going to be going from, you know, three creatures to six to fucking 12. Like, everything is going to be building up like crazy. And
what
then
about
I play
Banishing Light? Do you have any of those?
No, because I do Detention Sphere instead.
Okay.
Banishing Light is, I could play that, but I'm playing blue also, and this will target more than one. It'll take away everything.
Like a 2-2 split, like two Banishing Light, two Detention Spheres, because like Detention Sphere is good to capture multiple things.
Right.
But Detention Sphere can't get Detention Sphere. So that's why you run the Banishing Lights too, because Banishing Light can get rid of their Detention Sphere.
Okay, we'll sideboard then.
How about
that?
Do something like
that. I'd say sideboard. I think Banishing Light is fantastic, but while we have D-Sphere here, I think I'm just going to play that.
D-Sphere is obviously more better, but the only reason why Banishing Light's good because it can get Detention Sphere. So.
All the Elspeth tokens, like all that kind of stuff that you can just like get rid of in one swing, I think it's really important. And then I play one Bite into Fossa. Because when I'd be able to tap all your shit down, I get to get in freely, I get to draw that many cards. And I'll be able to draw, like, all the fucking cards. If it hits off one. So I only play one, I might change it to two, because I think Biden in this deck is going to be really important. I think that I'm going to be swinging with enough creatures, even if I can't tap something down, I'm still getting in with creatures.
Yeah.
Which means I'm hitting combat, I'm doing combat damage to a player, which means I'm drawing cards. So I feel that all this stuff relies on one card. So if you're playing me, you should take that shit out real quick. But I think the board will be flooded, and it's quantity over quality for sure. You know, I think that I'm just going to be attacking as many tokens as possible, pumping them up with Spear or Dictate, and then tapping all your shit down to get in, or exiling creatures, or whatever. But I think that Battlefield card is fucking amazing, and I think that a token deck is one that really exploits its what it does, so...
Do you have any Elspeths in the list?
No.
No?
I can, but it's kind of high on the curve.
Yeah.
I was hoping to keep it pretty low.
Would you top out like four or five?
I top out at five with one Dictate. I have four for the Bite of Thassa, and everything else is three or less. Okay. Actually, you know what? I do have one Afara, God of the Polis. Because I'm bringing out stuff on
out so many creatures.
Yeah, and I'm bringing out on my opponent's turn also with like Brimaz and the instant spell stuff. So I get to draw two cards per turn. You know, if that was the case, I'm bringing out creatures no matter what. Because every card here is going to be tokens basically. So I'll be able to bring out new creatures.
Really
each time.
Try to thin Elspeth or two in there.
Yeah, I think it's a good fit. I
you
understand.
You get the extra tokens as well, and then they get to plus be pumped the ultimate. Up. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
plus
it's important.
A good way to deal with like big creatures.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because your way of dealing with them is just kind of tapping them and just sidestepping them.
Yeah.
Getting through. So like, if you don't draw into one of those spells, or like they just overflood the board, you can't deal with.
But they'll never flood more than I will.
Yeah.
There's no way. I understand. I'm gonna have less than six creatures on the board.
But if,
or whatever,
like, you attack with everything, and you know they can crack back or more than what you can do with all.
Well,
your
there's also
ones.
A lot of vigilance too.
Yeah, I was just gonna say
there's like
vigilance
there's a lot of vigilance stuff in this thing. So, and my one drop is favorite hoplite just because it's a good one drop. I think it's a better one. I think having a one drop with Heroic is more important than having a stronger one drop that's by itself, like Soul for the Pantheon or something like that. I think that the favorite hoplite's going to get triggered so much that it'll get out of control. And every time it's triggered, it prevents damage to it. It's good for it also. So, yeah. Anyways, my little synopsis is like, bring out creatures, use spell to target creatures and make many tokens, bulk up tokens with Spear and Dictate, make tokens transform with the 4/4 Sphinx if needed, tap out all opponent's creatures and attack effortlessly. Oh, look, the Biden lets us draw some cards. Okay, repeat. That's it. That's pretty much it. So that's my deck for the week. Or
nice. For the podcast. I like it.
Solid.
I like it.
Sounds solid.
Do you ever make the Master in paper?
No. I just didn't really want to spend the money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I just feel I don't really want to spend cards on M14 or Ravnica Block too much.
We just got a new Master in the set.
Master.
What's the other one? Remember you were talking about that black red one? Master of something? Discards all of your hand or something, whatever the fuck it
master
is.
Master of Cruelty or something, yeah, like something that. Like that. Yeah. Also, quadruple Masters.
I want
yeah.
the Masters.
Ooh, hey.
Play so, every color.
Yeah. I want to get you guys' opinion. With my discard deck, what do you think about throwing one of those in?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to, you know, do it before it rotates out. It's gonna rotate
which
out
guy?
Really oh, yeah, yeah. It's just going to be...
Like, your deck's going to be, like, really good for, like, a month or two.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to lose a lot of stuff.
For that window...
The M15 window?
Yeah, the M15 yeah. window. I'm going to have a lot of tools to work with. But Master of Cruelties is a... It's 5-drop? Or 6-drop?
6-drop, I think.
5 or 6.
Is that the guy that when he attacks, you go to his one life?
No, yeah. It's at the end of every end step... Or at the beginning of every end step, each player discards their hand.
That's Siren Sanity.
Is that Siren Sanity?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Okay. Master Cruelty
yeah,
is the guy that if he, one. He can only okay. attack alone. He's like he has death touch or whatever, but if he gets through damage to you, your life goes to one.
So that guy.
Siren Sanity.
Yeah.
I was thinking about throwing like a one of in there. Or does Rakdos return? Is that discard or exile?
Discard.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Discard X card, lose X life.
So Rakdos discard deck?
Yeah, I was thinking about throwing... There was one other, like, black-red card I was thinking about putting in there, but I don't really remember what it is at the time. But I don't think I'm going to, like, invest.
The red-black Skylands are one of the cheaper ones, too, which is nice.
Yeah.
I already got... As soon as they came out, I got them.
Oh, cool.
Because they were one of the cheaper ones.
Yeah,
I have some Sire of Insanity, so...
Nice.
I think two at least.
Screws over control.
And Master of Cruelties.
Dun-dun-dun!
But yeah.
So, anybody else have any brews?
No, I've been working on it.
Just trying to figure out what the format's like now with the new cards.
How things shift. But
we're thinking Reich's going to try to probably go to like a hexproof deck.
Yeah, maybe. I was thinking, I'm fooling around. Depends on how it goes. I might actually build a red white burn deck that I have. I actually have it online, but I might build a paper one. Because I really like burn,
mm-hmm.
just the way it is. But if, you know, I'm going to see how it goes. If not, I might try. I was thinking about Jund originally, shifting my red-green monsters into a Jund midrange. But I think I'd rather do Hexproof, Naya Hexproof. But that includes me picking up, like, cards like fucking Voice Resurgence, which I won't do.
No,
but
yeah,
I'd probably substitute
something
else.
Even then, Voice is like a 2 of.
Yeah.
As a value card. Because it's like, you know, you deal with it.
But it's not
dies.
Legendary, which is nice.
Yeah. But like, you don't want to have multiple of because your whole strategy is the hexproof enchantment, you know. Mm-hmm. And this way they can still kill it and you lose the enchantment. But at least they get something back in return. So it's not like something that's essential to the deck, but it's like a value card.
I would replace it. I'd probably just throw 4 of those double green
reach
guys.
I'm seeing how mono black goes. What mono black evolves into if it's still really just up there, and then I'll probably do a hexproof because it just hoses it so good.
Yeah.
So quickness, you're doing the American control is what your next thing is? Maybe?
My two decks now is I'm going to shift because I can't be playing Esper and Junk. Because I only have a place of certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Godless Shrines, the Temples, the Downfalls, the Thoughtseize, stuff like that. So I'm shifting my control deck over to American control. And then I'm going to have the Junk midrange. And then I'll have my mono blue.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, is it going to be mono blue and white?
Is that what you're going to do? Blue, okay. Is that what you're going to do after rotation? Is like American control?
Wherever control goes, I have no idea.
Wherever control goes, you follow.
Wherever the next 4 mana wrath is going in color, that's where I'm going. So if it's black, if it's red, if it's, you know, white, that's where I'm going
to
be at.
That's really hard to tell for rotation, yeah.
Yeah, so
you if you look at, like, the block stuff, it's, like, really hard to tell, but
yeah.
I think we have what?
Just leave it recorded and take a break.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go on.
But, yeah, I think we're ready for some noobs knowledge. I want to lay down some knowledge on these noobs.
All right, let's take a break for us. So what are we going to cover in this segment, guys? What are we going to tackle?
Well, I think it's only appropriate since a new set's come out and new mechanics that we go over the new mechanics. So everybody's going to attend game day or, you know, FNM or draft on Moto or something like that. They can be up to date with all the new lingo and how these cards interact with each other and all the older cards in the set.
So I saw some cards with flying. You guys heard of this?
Flying?
Flying, yeah.
What's flying?
I don't know. There's no text underneath it, so I don't know what it means.
Ah.
There's usually, like, little parentheses or whatever it is.
It's probably just flavor text.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it too much. That little guy. I wouldn't worry about that little guy.
So let's tackle Constellation.
So wait, there's two new mechanics that were introduced into Journey to Nyx, right? So we have what? Constellation?
There's Constellation.
And then the second one, which is Strive.
Correct.
So those are the two we'll be hitting on real quick.
And then also they're bringing back...
Well, they brought back, like, older ones, like you know, Monstrous, Scribe, Heroic.
Yeah. Well, like we're just going to be talking about the new ones.
Yeah.
The brand spanking new ones. So, Constellation. Does anybody have a card in front of them that they can read off? Basically, so, Constellation is whenever this card or any other enchantment enters the battlefield, do X. Whatever so, X is.
All the cards with constellations are enchantments themselves, so they're enchantment creatures. So they do trigger off themselves and any other enchantments, pretty much. So
like, say, the green enchantment creature, which is... Is it the Eidolon of...
No.
Blossoms?
Or yeah, something of Blossoms?
Eidolon of Blossoms.
Is that the one that draws cards?
Yeah, I think it's Eidolon of Blossoms. Essentially, what happens is when you play this green card... When it comes into the battlefield, since it has the constellation text on it, and it is enchantment, it triggers on its when it comes in for just playing the card itself, and allows you to draw a card. And then whenever you bring in another enchantment, either whether it's like an actual board enchantment or an enchantment creature or anything that has the word enchantment in its card or god, any kind of anything that has its card type has the word enchantment in it. It also triggers you to draw another card. So that's actually a really good, kind of one of the better, I feel like, constellation cards that are out there.
Now, it's a 2/2 for two colorless and two blue, or two green. So it's four, and all you get is a 2/2, which is not very good. But
especially in green.
But the constellation effect is so strong, and green doesn't have card advantage like other colors do, so it needs to be heavily costed. You can't give green all the tricks. It already has enough.
You know, green, you have big creatures. That's where you get your kind of card advantage from, is by being able to trade and stuff like that and keep your creatures on the board. Mm-hmm. And since it is a 2/2, it's not very good. You know, everybody has a bear in every color. That's really good. They make up for the power and toughness by being able to draw a card. So that's why the card is so powerful. Anything pretty much that says it's a creature or it does this plus draws a card is always going to be really good. You know, and any time you draw a card, it's always really good.
And there's a whole cycle of constellations for each color, right?
So there's constellation a bunch in every color. Like not all the promos, but like the Doomwick Giant was the whenever him or another enchantment enters the battlefield, all your opponent's creatures get -1/-1.
And in that instance, it'll trigger multiple times, so till end of turn, it'll get -2, you know, or whatever. If you trigger himself, bring himself out, and then bring out another enchantment, then it'll be everything gets -2/-2 till end of turn. Well, everything on the opponent's side.
Right,
for so that turn. That's great, you know, it can stack on top. Or there's another one here that is Forgeborn. Oriads or whatever it is, Oriads. It's constellation. Whenever himself or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, it deals 1 damage to target creature or player. So now you bring out himself and maybe some kind of other enchantment or whatever, like Madcap skills, right? So like an enchantment or whatever, stuff like that. Then you get to do 2 damage, and you can kind of plan that out and be like, all right, that's a 2 toughness creature. I'm going to play both of these, and I can take something out, you know what I mean? And
take your guy, take your blocker out, get in for some damage.
Right. You can do that all before the attack phase.
Yeah.
There's strategies you can play with the constellation And we've seen that a lot when we did our limited stuff. Constellation was huge.
Yeah.
And then limited.
I think
when you're doing block, when you're doing block, you're doing limited, it's huge right now,
it,
I think.
It's definitely shown itself to be better than, I think, like the Tribute or
Inspired.
Something like that.
Definitely it's, a better mechanic.
It's definitely one of the more mechanics I think it'll stay around and see more play.
It definitely added another layer, another more depth to the limited format.
Especially since it's an enchantment block.
Yeah, I really like this mechanic.
You could make a deck with all your permanents enchantments.
Yes.
You could make that and have a successful deck. So having a trigger that triggers off anything, even another constellation creature, doesn't matter.
Everything
will just pop off.
Yeah.
The enchantment can hit and trigger a heroic on another creature, which then triggers a constellation. It just all this can just pop off like crazy.
That's
great.
That's like what my pre-release deck was. Everything triggered all the constellations because I used a lot of the creatures from Journey to Nyx, which a lot of them are just enchantment creatures. You know, so. And let's touch on
Another thing with constellation too is, you know, enchantment creatures like some of the bestow creatures, you can actually bestow a creature, and since it's an enchantment coming in, it triggers constellation.
But when it falls off, it doesn't trigger again.
That doesn't enter the battlefield again. You know, constellation is a really solid mechanic because it's kind of like an incidental thing. You can put a constellation card in your deck in like a limited format and not feel bad about it because you're at least going to have like 3, maybe 5, maybe 6 enchantments in your deck that are just good cards that fit in the deck that aren't trying to trigger the constellation, but it just incidentally happens to.
Added bonus.
So it's all upside. There's really no downside in a limited format to playing a constellation card.
So another one is another one to think about when you think of this constellation is Farika, God of Affliction.
Yes.
This is a card that is a god, indestructible, 5/5 for 3 mana. It's a black and green god. So the reason I'm bringing it up is because the activated ability is for a black and a green. Exile target creature card from a graveyard. Its owner puts a 1/1 black and green snake enchantment creature token with death touch onto the battlefield. That's a lot of words right there for one little token. But it's an enchantment creature, and it enters the battlefield, and it triggers constellation. And it's something that you don't need cards in your hand to trigger. Where everything else you need to bring, you know, pay mana, bring out a card, trigger constellation. This is something, if you get it on the board, and you can exile creatures from your graveyard, then you get to bring out the enchantment and trigger constellation again.
Same with, like, Heliod.
You know?
Heliod, pay 4 mana, you get a 2/1 white enchantment cleric token.
Cleric token.
So, you know, that fits into that strategy, too. And then, you know, you can... I was thinking of, you know, like a junk constellation deck, because you get Frieza, you get Heliod, and then, you know, there's a bunch of other enchantments that are good in white and black. So, you know, you can just... It's like a value deck, pretty much, when you do constellation. Everything you do is going to get you some additional value on top of what the card
is. Which
says.
Is really important. I like that this block is kind of going that direction rather than just being a desecration demon, where it's just a card that stands alone and just kicks ass. Or something like that, or like a Blood Baron or whatever. You know, it's like, it comes out, it's a big threat, but I'm glad to see these other cards that are going to be cheap for people to buy, that have a lot of synergy with other cards, and like, it just builds up, you know, instead of just bringing out one bomb, I hope I can draw this one card, now everything helps, you know, sweet.
Yeah, I'm going to be playing these two really good cards, and if I play them together, you know, I get some added benefit from it instead of just playing these two really good cards together. You know, so it's really nice.
For a quick second, let's talk about, like, enchantment creatures and the bestow creatures. So, pretty much in all areas of the game, so in the graveyard, in your hand, in your library, in the battlefield, all the bestow creatures are going to be enchantments.
Yeah, every
They're
time.
They're always enchantments. But bestow creatures are not always creatures all the time.
They're always enchantments, and they're always creatures, but they're never both at the same time. So you can have an aura that's an enchantment that's bestowed on something, but it's not a creature.
Well, if there's an enchantment creature on the battlefield, it's an enchantment and a creature.
Right.
Yeah, you just have it itself, because it's a creature then.
Yeah, but it's also an enchantment.
But it triggers.
Because you can...
Either way, we're splitting hairs
here. You can target
here.
It with... But the whole point is that, like, if you were to bestow it on something, so enchant something with your bestow creature, that bestow creature is not a creature. It's... only an enchantment on the board. But when it falls off, it is a enchantment creature. It's both at the same time. So, like, if you have something that looks for enchantments in your library, you can go search for an enchantment creature, or just a regular aura enchantment, or a board enchantment. And or if you have something that looks for creatures, you can go look for that enchantment creature, because it recognizes that it's both an enchantment and a creature. But I believe the only time that it's not both an enchantment and a creature is when it is actually bestowed on something. It is just an aura enchantment.
Right. Yeah. Now, on the flip side of that is that now the cards that were not so significant, the destroy enchantment cards, are now really relevant, because now everything's an enchantment, creature, exactly, or just board enchantment or anything, you know. Before, you would just have a destroy enchantment card, and you go, that's fine, you know, to take care of maybe a Sanguine Bond or some other kind of madcap skills or something like that. But now it targets creatures also,
yeah,
and that wasn't the case before. So
yeah, you know, before you wouldn't normally, like, main deck and a disenchant effect, which gets rid of an enchantment. But now in this block, when we're playing limited, I think it's definitely safe to play one main deck disenchant effect, but I think I would actually go up to two, because there's a lot of times where you'll get rid of an enchantment early game just to apply some pressure, and then they play, like, a huge bomb that's an enchantment creature that you can't really deal with, and that's where the second copy of your disenchant effect will come into play. And they added a lot of new enchantments with Journey in the Nyx, so I think two is the way to go, really, when you're going to be building a limited deck or something like that.
Nice.
Even, like, a standard deck, you know, you will play your standard stuff that will get rid of enchantments, so, like, Banishing Light, Tension Spear, which incidentally happen to be enchantments as well. But, you know, I think it's safer to run these types of effects now main deck, rather than just have them be relegated to sideboard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the other mechanic that was introduced with Journey to the Nyx is what? Strive?
Strive, correct.
So Strive is pretty much, I think there's an older kind of mechanic called Kicker.
Yeah.
Which would allow you to pay X amount of mana to apply it to other
targets. Well, you get, Kicker is, you get whatever the text says, and then it says if this card was kicked, you get something else as well. So you pay, like, you can have, like, let's say Divination. You pay 3 mana, you draw 2 cards. And then let's say it had a kicker of 2. So you pay 5 mana now, you get to draw 2 cards, and let's say
the one is destroy something. Well, it said the other one, it said, like, cannot be countered.
Yeah, cannot,
you know, now it can't be countered.
And it can't be countered. So you get an additional effect. So Stride is like that, but instead of getting an additional effect, you get to target multiple things.
As many things as you want. Many things you can afford.
You can pay for. So here's one of the cards called Launch the Fleet. It's a white card, costs 1 white mana, and has the it's a sorcery which has Strive. And it says Launch the Fleet costs 1 colorless more to cast for each target beyond the first. So essentially saying the Launch the Fleet, the ability of Launch the Fleet is, it says until the end of turn, any number of target creatures each gain. Whenever this creature attacks, put a 1/1 white soldier creature token onto the battlefield tapped and attacking. So essentially that means for 1 white mana, you can target one creature that you control that is attacking to gain a 1/1 white soldier token creature that is also attacking. But with the Strive mechanic, is saying that not only for 1 white mana, you can pay an additional colorless mana, including that 1 white mana. So for 2 mana, you can target 2 attacking creatures and gain 2 additional attacking tokens, or 1/1 soldier tokens.
Exactly.
And you can do that as many times as you can afford. So say you have 7 mana available. You can essentially target 7 attacking creatures, if you had that many, to gain an additional 7 attacking tokens, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy amount of good stuff. And there's all these different cards that do that. So I think like one of the green ones allows you to, I think it's like, I don't know if it's gains.
One of the green ones, you put +1/+1 counters.
Yeah, like ones you get counters, another one you can get.
I mentioned one before about Strive, is Silence of the Believers. It's 2 colorless, 2 black, with Strive, of course. Costs 2 colorless and 1 black to cast a second time. So it's 4 for 1 creature, targeted, 7 for 2 creatures targeted, and so on. Exile any number of target creatures and all auras attached to them. So every time we have a kill spell, it's always for 1. It's always target creature is destroyed, is exiled, is yada yada. This is a Strive one where if you can pay for it, you get to exile 2 creatures and target them. It's not just a board wipe. You get to be specific with it, and it's exiled, and it does cost a lot. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can't take them for granted, removal right. spells. It's got to be expensive, or else it'll be...
But still, like, you're getting the fact for, like, you're getting, like, a 2-for-1, yep. essentially.
Instead of having 2 cards in your deck, take out 2 creatures, you got 1, as long as you can pay for it. Ramp up to it, or have that Thaumaturge guy, whatever I was talking about, and make things cheaper. All those colorless symbols get 1 less. So, in this case, Silence of Believers costs 4 to cast for 1, and 7 to cast for 2. Well, now it'll cost 3 to cast for 1, and 5 to cast for 2. You know, you take 1 for the first target and another 1 for the second target, so.
Yeah, and I think all the Strive cards are pretty good, like, pretty nicely costed. They're not, like, super cheap on some of them that are crazy broken or anything like that.
I think it's appropriate, yeah.
But I think it's a good mechanic. Just to allow the fact, even for, like, things like a Heroic being in the format, allowing you to target additional creatures from 1 sorcery or instant card to trigger Heroic on its own is a huge deal, as long as you can pay for the mana, of course. But I think it's an awesome addition, a new mechanic. Right.
Heroic we don't really need to touch on, but just to bring it up, Heroic is whenever you cast a spell that targets that thing, such and such happens. So instead of being an enchantment coming into the battlefield or this and that, it's whenever you cast a spell that targets it, then it happens that way.
So even if the spell's countered, you're still casting it and you're still targeting something.
Yeah, it does not have to enter the battlefield.
Regardless of whether it resolves.
Yep.
Yeah, you still get that Heroic trigger.
So it doesn't apply with abilities, though. So if you have any abilities that do target, that say target, you know, it doesn't happen because it has to be a spell that targets you cast.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's one thing to do. And like, Strive is such a good mechanic in this block. Just for the fact that we have so many heroes, and just any card that says target something is already incrementally that much better because there's heroes in the set. So I think Strive is like a breakout mechanic that will bring out, like, we'll see more and more like Heroic type strategies reach Constructed, just because you know, there's so much you can do with it now, and it's essentially kind of like card advantage, and you're efficiently using your mana each turn a lot better. Instead of having like 5 mana on the board, 2 creatures, you play 1 pump spell, it's all you got in your hand, you know, you can target one thing, get through this. Now you can spend all your mana, use 1 card to target 5 things, and you know, it's just that much more efficient and really that much more better just for 1 card, you know.
It's good, even if you don't even Strive it, it's still like, you know, it's still a good card to say if you can only pay that 3 mana just to play it, it's still good, but it has the additional benefit of if you can afford it, you can target multiple targets.
Limited games go out long, you have a lot of mana to spend in a limited format, you know, you're games usually are not over on turn 5 and 6 or 4 and 5 when they are in Constructed. So a lot of times you kind of have little stalemates and this and that, and if you can trigger Strive a couple times, you know, that can really turn the game around.
Yeah.
Or you can use it at the beginning to get out of some sticky situation.
Just to get you ahead, you know, so that your burn spells or your reach type stuff can get through for the last bit, and you don't have to really worry about combat damage or anything like that.
Yeah, I just like these new block mechanics, just the way that they're giving the power to the player to be able to choose, you know, if I want this to happen, you know, or just giving the kind of the interactions between different cards. Or the ability to target different cards is amazing.
Right.
Yeah, like the whole set is about like monsters and heroes, and it's an enchantment block. And so like the two mechanics that came out in the Journey and Nyx play exactly into what this block was supposed to be. So, you know, you have Strive, you can target all your heroes, and you have Constellation, which, you know, everything's pretty much an enchantment, so you can trigger that. So it's like they added a lot of stuff in Journey and Nyx that just happened to give you additional benefit. So cards that might not see a lot of play will see a lot of play now because you have that additional upside as well. And you don't have to feel as bad as putting like a mediocre card in your deck just because it synergizes so well with a lot of the other strategies that this block's trying to put you into.
And I think all we're trying to say is this block is amazing.
This block is pretty damn good.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to Journey the Nyx coming out, or it's already out, and just actually picking it up and playing with it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So. Like, I think, you know, from Theros, Born of the Gods, and Journey, I really think Journey was my favorite one. because, you know, Theros is, you can't, it's hard to make the first set in the expansion the best set because you're really introducing new things, you're kind of laying the groundwork.
There's not a lot of card pool to go from,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly, and I think
people don't know.
Kind of played into Theros and made it better. And made it the format a lot deeper. There's more angles of attack.
Would you say it's come full circle?
I think it has.
I was listening to a podcast where they were interviewing fucking somebody who was maybe it was Zach Hill or something on who
like
worked
the lead
on.
Designer or something.
Yeah, he helped design Theros and Born of the Gods, and then he left before Journey into Nyx. But you know, he was saying that. It's really dependent on which order that they introduce things, because if you screw up the order, meaning like if they had introduced all the Strive and Constellation cards in Born of the Gods, then they wouldn't have anything left for Journey into Nyx, and it would like. You know, you feel like
stale.
Yeah, you'd feel
you
like you didn't finish.
You have to one up yourself every single. You have to advance.
You'd feel progress. Like there was this good build up and just you didn't finish. And nobody likes that. Nobody likes.
Everybody
that.
Wants to finish.
Everyone yes. wants to finish. Yeah. Everyone wants to leave. So no listeners to okay. Stop. I'll stop referencing. I'll stop referencing other podcasts. So but. I think it was right to kind of make the middle block kind of just – it felt like an extension of Theros,
yeah.
which was good. I mean, it didn't, like, shake things up too much, and it didn't make it super exciting. But it's like we get the start and end on really exciting and good notes. And I can't wait to draft with you guys.
I'm ready to
I can't
draft.
Wait to draft on Modo. I just – I want to fucking play, and I want to hurry up for fucking rotation to get here because – I think that'll be fucking fun.
I'm not excited.
I
want to
see where they take this block. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what kind of support and the direction they're going to make in M15 and the next sets where these cards that we get here, they're kind of, I don't know, they're kind of one-dimensional where it kind of really wants to focus on one thing and it, you know, rewards you for really sticking to that strategy. I want to see how they either diversify it and, you know, make it so that you can employ a strategy like this, but, it, you know, you don't weaken yourself by trying to add something else to it. And so I'm just really excited where they're going to take it from here because I think Ravnica block was just so powerful on its own that pretty much anything you put with it was going to be good to begin with. Whereas I think this is, it's more, like I was saying, it's more one-dimensional where it kind of really wants you to play into this one specific strategy.
Yeah.
And I don't think the next couple sets are going to be very enchantment-based. So we're going to see where all these cards fall once
yeah,
we'll
see where
Ravnica
it fits
rotates
in.
Out.
Yeah.
You know, so we might see, like, Elspeth, which dominates the block now. We might see, you know, some really good answers to Elspeth in the next coming blocks that might just make it somewhere it's like, you know... You don't want to really play that many Elspeths, so.
I think the Germans are coming.
I know.
It's the Luftwaffe. The plane.
Yeah. So I think that wraps it up for us here at the Knife City Airfield.
I mean, like us on Facebook, though.
Hey, you know
Subscribe
what?
On YouTube, we got booster box videos up. We got Esper Control versus the Newt. We got Mono Blue versus Mono White. Up,
all sorts of good stuff.
We have videos pumping out, you know.
Check out the website, of course.
So, yeah. If you're new, go back to episode one, listen to the podcast, see how it's going.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about maybe sometime down the line trying to edit the beta, the alpha and beta episodes, and,
yeah.
and putting them just for funsies.
That sounds like
the alpha is gonna be
amazing.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
I there for the alpha?
No,
it was just you two, right?
Yeah. It was just me and a quick.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
While we were playing a game, we just happened to talk.
So it's like, yeah, that card sounds good. Ah, fuck! You just killed that guy. Damn it.
Another detention sphere.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, check us out on Facebook. We're always putting up new videos on YouTube. We're chipping away at the website. And, yeah, stay tuned for more goodness. So this has been episode 7. So, yeah, thanks for listening in. This has been If Lance Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
I'm a Quickness.
This is Right.
Hot Sauce.
And we'll catch you guys on the flip side. Peace.
We need the outro.
If you have any good names for the episode, please fill me in because or the future episodes. I ran out of Star Wars names. Well, I don't know what to
episode
do now.
Seven. Okay. Episode 7 is coming out next year.
They
don't have the name yet.
I don't think they don't.
They have the cast, though. That's the next podcast.
It's just going to be a number from now on. It's just number 7.
I will tell you right now. It's going to be amazing.